This is RSVNB Update, episode 365, recorded June 15th, 2012, the 200 mil milestone. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update. We're here this week, and we have no RS updates to discuss, so we're just going to discuss some RuneScape news in general about what is going to be happening next week and what important milestone JX is approaching. So, Trekkie, tell us what this milestone is.
So, apparently, according to JX, they are about to reach 200 million players or accounts. Woot!
Accounts creator. I'd wonder where this fits with other types of MMOs.
How much is WoW?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. How many accounts does WoW have signed up? Star Trek Online. Well, forget that one. That's not a big MMO. I just say that because I'm partial to that one. But it would be nice to know where this fits in terms of the biggest MMOs, because I think RuneScape was the first true free-to-play browser-based MMO to exist. So that'd be nice to know. But in anticipation of this mind-blowing total, they've added a counter to RuneScape.com, and they want everyone to witness this incredible, incredible accomplishment. We think the achievement is truly amazing, and naturally we want to celebrate with the people who made it possible, each and every one of you. So to commemorate this momentous occasion, we have put together a grand celebration, along with a series of events and surprises to allow the entire community in joining us in celebrating 200 millionth account when the time comes. Keep an eye on the counter, and make sure you're around for the iconic moment in RuneScape history to unfold.
Okay, then. Now, Shane, here's the big kicker. How many of those accounts have been banned or were bot accounts?
Yeah, that's an important question, because if we look at the RSVNB counter as to how many people have actually signed up on our site and how many of them are active and how many of them still exist, because we used to clean accounts out, our ID for signups is at 53,088. So we don't have 53,000 active users. We actually only have 4,500 accounts that are actually existing. So we've cleaned out a whole bunch of inactive accounts. So the question, as you said, is how many of these are active. But being free to play in RuneScape, I don't know. I'd be willing to say that 80% of them are active and have been played on a decent amount, probably.
But, well, do also remember during the first bot nuke, remember that RuneScape was averaging around 200,000 players every second.
Yeah, now we're at 156,000.
The other thing too, when it first happened, it went down all the way to like 50,000 people at once.
Yep.
So still a pretty good number of that right now are just bots that they just haven't caught, and most of them are the spam bots that spam your private messaging. I hate those things so much. It's so stupid.
But, yeah, those are annoying, aren't they?
So remember, we went from 200,000 to 50,000, which three quarters of the population were bots.
So basically what you're saying is that a number of these are most likely bots and people who actually aren't true players.
Yeah.
But, the thing is that 200 million is an accomplishment, because you are heading in that direction and you've been able to draw enough attention to have the 200 million apply to just check out your game. So, I think that's worth something. Anyways, that's that. So, when do you think they'll hit this? Because we're at 197,921,542 right now.
Well, so far, every minute, we're getting about like 100 people logging in, created. So, you do the math. We got about, so right now, 2,070,000-ish people to go.
So 100 people for every minute, you said? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Well, probably I'm lowballing it.
I don't know. Sometime next week, maybe by this time Friday. We'll see. But
okay. Look. Oh, look. Two more bots just came in. Oh, there's three more.
That's certainly a pessimistic attitude of yours, isn't it, if you're saying they're bots right away?
Oh, wait. Three of them are real. Here's the real one. That one's real. That one's fake. All those are fake.
Oh, that's funny. You're funny. But anyways, more on that, of course, when we actually hit the 200 million marker. So moving on from that, the Clan Cup for 2012. Signups are open. The tournament kicks off on Monday, June 25th. Isn't that a coincidence? We all know what the 25th is, don't we?
No.
That's the day the combat beta starts.
Whee! It's going to be fun.
Yeah, imagine if there was a huge bug in the thing and people were using the beta to compete in Clan Cup.
Well, considering it's a beta, you're supposed to break it in the first place.
Yes, that's true. That is the idea of a beta.
I'm looking forward to put on as many weapons as I can at one time and then just start smashing people's heads in.
In the Clan Cup? Are you going to be entering that?
No, I have no little plan that's going to go.
I thought you did. I thought you had somewhere to do the Citadel.
I do, but they're not going to do it. I don't think we're going to join it anyway. I mean, it's basically going to be the, you know, wilderness clans that have like 300 138s with dragon claws and everything else. And, you know, one group of people would freeze them, the other group come in with like two claws, scrape them, and then two more comes in front and rinse and repeat.
And, you know, that's kind of why the whole combat update is needed. But anyways, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. So Clan Cup will be, of course, divided into tiers for everyone. There will be groups for skilling and non-skilling and combined. So, I mean, whether or not you are a combat person or not, so whichever clan you're in, there will be a place to sign up if you want.
Oh, so and we have...
This is just generally geared towards a clan so that... Well, pretty much anyone can sign up.
Oh, and of course, Devo just started up the RSVNB clan again.
He's managing the Citadel for us. So
yeah, so
if anybody is interested in using a Citadel or seeing what a Citadel is all about or helping out in one, you can PM him to get details on that. We're not exactly a true clan, but we just run the Citadel for fun, I guess.
And, you know, if you actually get it up, it's actually worth it.
Yeah, so I hope that he'll be able to get enough people to do that. So if you are interested, that would be Devo338 on the forums. And I forget what he changed his RS name to. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, more or less the same thing. Just join our friend chat. We're open. Just don't spam.
Yeah, that works.
we're usually adding people in.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I see someone asking how to get into Citadel. So, all right, don't talk to me. Talk to him.
Yeah. They say, on top of all that, we've also seized the opportunity to incorporate an element of combat competition within the new combat beta server. So a smaller combat-focused event will be running in the beta side-by-side with the main event on the regular servers. Take a look here for further details. So we got ahead of ourselves earlier, and we thought they were going to be running these on the beta servers, but there is actually going to be a specific clan event on the beta server that people will be able to compete in if they want to. Which is good, I guess.
All right. I'm looking forward to burning Shane with my Hadouken.
Okay, anything else about Clan Cup before we move on to discuss combat once again?
Good luck. If you enter, good luck. That's basically it.
All right, so we got another edition of the OG blog this week. Mm. So essentially, what this one is discussing is skill, variety, and fun. So basically, these are three things that they wanted to bring into the new combat system. First up being variety, because they say mostly you can take the best weapon or spell available to you and always do the best rates of damage. While we have factors like damage type, stab, slash, crush, for example, They rarely make a huge difference in combat and are mostly selected due to the associated XP generation. We are changing that. So essentially, what you're going to be able to do with this is you're going to be able to use a crush attack, but get attack experience. Another example they give is that you'll be able to use an Abyssal Whip and get strength XP from it.
Okay.
What do you think about that? I think that's great.
It is good. I mean, it basically means that you're more free to use whichever weapon you like instead of the one that you need to skill to raise up a specific attack style.
But, yeah, so, and you know, this was long needed because, quite frankly, who wants to use something that's slower, like a Ceridoman sword, or if you don't have a rapier to train strength?
I usually use the Dragon Scimitar to train strength.
I know, and
that was before
that thing is slow compared to the whip. So using the whip to train strength will be a welcome addition for those of us who don't want to go out and farm a rapier.
Rapier's
so
cool.
I'm happy about this. Then they say every NPC will have weaknesses in strength, reinforcing the combat triangle. That's about time, too, because, you know, there's just so many people out there who go do a certain thing on a NPC just because it's like that. And it doesn't even keep in line with the combat triangle. Because remember, I don't know if you remember this, but when RuneScape 2 came out, it was supposed to have a solid combat triangle.
Mm-hmm. It did.
I think it did for a while, and then it slowly got compacted into a combat, like, flat thing.
Mm-hmm. I actually remember when RuneScape 2 was just started to come out, the beta came out, so we're all messing around with it. I remember buying myself a Dragon Longsword during the beta. Well, not buy, more of like my friend duplicated it and they gave me one. I was like, oh, sweet. Because you remember that there was a glitch in the beta where if you put X, when you put something in the bank, you put a number of items, you actually get that many. So we were people duplicating dragon meds like 100 at a time, dropping them all over the place for fun. But
no, I do not remember that part of the beta.
Oh, well, you were too young at the time. But you know, I remember getting the sword because in theory the sword was going to be the most balanced because you can do, you know, just supposed to do stab and slash and everything else. So maybe now swords will come back
into
play.
And that's why everyone used the dragon longsword back in the day. Then we switched to the Dragon Scimitar when that came out. Mm-hmm. Then we switched to the Abyssal Whip when that came out. So there's been a clear progression of weapons that people use. And nowadays, I think it's either the God Sword or the Rapier for combat training. So there's a clear progression of the weapons that people use, even though there are other weapons that are more useful. So, I mean, it's about time we have something like this because people have always wanted to play the game like this, so why not let them? And another thing they bring in terms of variety is new abilities, which are basic, threshold, and ultimate. So they're not bound to the combat method you're using, but they have equipment requirements. So defensive abilities will require the use of a shield, or ranging requirements, the use of a bow. Now that's a good thing too, because when was the last time you saw a competitive ranger using a bow?
Never since they started using chaotic crossbows.
Exactly.
Or red chomps, since if they're training range.
Maybe maybe all these magic short bows that I have sitting in the bank will be worth something.
You have that many?
Oh yeah, from all the clue scrolls I've done, like 50 of them.
Okay.
Secondly, making combat more fun. We're doing several things to add more OMG moments to combat. This includes new abilities that are frankly awesome. And everybody in the office is amazed by what the graphics team has achieved.
Okay.
Huge tidal waves cascading from the mage, explosions from blasting your opponents before, massive aerial bombardments, a rain of arrows pinning your target to the ground, cleaving blows from the warrior so big that they rupture the very ground around you.
Or that basically means it caused a giant glitch in the game.
Maybe. And they say there's over 20 abilities to pick from within each combat method.
Okay. But
they're also adding critical hits.
Okay. Critical.
And we already knew this, but max life points will be raised by the armor you're wearing.
Alrighty then. So maybe Bandos will actually be really good.
Yeah, so life points will effectively increase by over 15 times the previous amounts for defensively geared players, with a 10 times increase for those equipped with offense in mind.
Okay. Currently, a common source of disappointment is being killed very quickly in PvP with little chance to react. With larger life pools, players will be encouraged to think tactically rather than relying on luck. Lucky big hits.
Okay. Now, this is an important note here, because this is the kind of thing you need to be careful of, because you can program this in so that at this stage, when the combat update comes out, this will be the case, but you need to make sure that your developers are in line so that later on you won't have developers adding things that will take down 90% of the bigger life point pool.
Hmm.
That's what I thought when I read that. And finally, they're going to make combat about players. Skill, which we touched on briefly before, I think, but essentially they say they want to players who master the system will have the best XP and GP rates available through combat. They want to reward players who truly master the new abilities, equipment, rebalancing, and target strength will find new rewards. So they're entirely focused on this because they want to take away the art of something like prayer flashing. And when you think about it, prayer flashing is like a little kind of glitch in the game. The prayers weren't really designed to be flashed on and off, you know?
We used to always do that back in RuneScape Classic.
I know, but still, that's not what the way the game's supposed to work. I've never done prayer flashing because, quite frankly, my ping is too high. 100 millisecond ping is just too much for this kind of thing from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they mentioned the action bar, which is a 12-slot thing for abilities, potion, foods, prayers, whatever you want. So, more on that in the little behind-the-scenes video, but that's another preview of, I guess, what's coming for combat, at least part of it. So, what do you think? Do you think we're heading in the right track here? Or?
Well, let's see it before we make judgment.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can see a video, but you don't know exactly how well it's going to play.
But, you know, as I've said before, one thing I am a little concerned about is the AFK ability of training. Well, let's face it, most of us do Slayer, don't really pay attention as we're fighting demons. We're just clicking every once in a while and watching a little TV show. So,
yeah, but...
Well, this requires more focus and, you know, may interfere with some people, but if it's more fun, then maybe people would get back into the game more.
I don't know if they'd remove the AFK ability, because just look at RuneSpan, which they brought out, which is highly AFK-based. If they were going away from AFK mm-hmm. training, I think we would have seen something there in that kind of idea. Uh-huh. So I'm not too sure on that, but I share your concern, but I'm not ready to...
Hey Shane, did you see this one here? I think it just popped in. Oh well, it was last night.
Yeah, I got that. That's the next link in the notes here.
Okay, I wasn't reading every little thing. Never mind.
Yeah. So next up, combat, action, and adrenaline. So this is the action bar. It looks like any kind of typical MMO-type action bar that we have, quite frankly. I mean, there's numerous rows that you could set, so that I think there's up to three, they said. So 12 times three, so you have up to 36 abilities you can use. Put anything there in this picture. We got potion, melee attack, something else. So, I mean, you can even do custom keys. In the behind-the-scenes video they show here that, let's say you want to map something to O, you can just say you want to change the keybind and press O, and then that will be put to O. So, I mean, it's entirely customizable, which is something I was hoping for in this update, because that's a perfect way of moving forward with the RuneScape user interface. I'm just kind of
apprehensive.
I'm just kind of upset that we're not seeing this customizability pan over to the rest of the interface, like the things on the bottom right, like all those things that fly out. Like, why did we need to have that there? And I mean, it's just kind of confusing to have that. But in any case, I think we know what my article this month will be written on once this combat beta update comes out. Wink, wink.
Let's see. Smite. Okay, so we got some prayer stuff going in, too.
Yeah. If you watch the behind-the-scenes video, you'll see that the magic spell pane has been replaced. That's this pane that's going to have all the actions, and then you can drag them to the action bar. So everything in there will be can just be dragged to the action bar. So that the magic spell thing that we've known for so long is going away. Other things are like kick and punish. So I wonder what punish would be.
Talk to the hand. That's what I'm seeing right now. Talk to the hand.
Yeah, but watch the video because it definitely shows a bit more than the pictures do here. So it also shows adrenaline, which is replacing the special attack bar that we have now. Essentially, for every little hit that you do in combat, you'll gain some adrenaline. And for example, when you reach 50% adrenaline, you'll have the ability to use thresholds. So those are more powerful than basic ones. So,
But I wonder how long it will last.
I don't know, but that would be important.
Because the thing is, what's important about this is that it's been shown in WoW. What people would probably do if they go into the WoW to go PK, they can start hitting on each other to build up their adrenaline. You know, like, oh, I have plenty of food. Let's just fight each other for a little bit. And then, you know, as they're walking through, they just keep fighting each other once in a while just to maintain it. And when they see someone who's like, you know, someone they can gank, suddenly unleash ultimate attack styles and basically can still kill them in one hit. You know, you have enough people. So
yeah, that's an important thing to remember there, I think.
So, you know, unless they do something with that in the wild or they really limit how long it will last. Because, you know, somebody's like, you know, Castle War, yeah, you know, you can have a little... It won't matter too much because you can't fight each other anyway. But, you know, if you start farming newbie people there, that can be bad. And suddenly you just start ganking the higher level ones.
Ganking?
Yeah, it's when you gang up on the person.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah, so ultimate's at 100 and they'll automatically light up when you have the ability to do that. So just like I'm wondering what's going to happen to our old special attacks.
Well, according to this, you're going to get other skills along with it. So
I know,
what I
But I don't know how I feel if they're going to make the special attacks disappear.
Well, let's see. Let's check out the adrenaline bar here. Let's see what skills they have. Okay, so I'm just going to, what I think it is. There's one that's eyeballing, one maybe to lunge, one maybe, I think that one's to break a bone. The third one, I don't know what the fourth one is. Fifth one maybe to get some extra strength. I don't know about the other ones, though. Higher defense, shield block, whirlwind.
I just want to know if we're going to still have things like the dragon dagger quick hit thing, or what's going to happen to the dragon claws.
Maybe they'll finally get nerfed.
Hopefully. But anyways, of course, we'll probably be seeing more in a behind-the-scenes video next week because we are rapidly approaching June 25th when this thing is supposed to come out.
Yes, it's going to be fun. And we'll have a whole week to test it out before we can give you our judgment.
Yeah. And that's what we like doing here, of course. We like just having a kind of a roundup of what's happening. Because by the time the show comes out, you're supposed to know what's been going on and everything. So we should be just providing commentary on that. But
all right.
In any case, we got another episode of RuneCast. This time they got some questions from people who wrote them in. You said your question didn't get on here, did it?
Nope. But anyway, she only asked like three questions, so I was like, well, that's no fun.
Okay. Some interesting things on this one. Talking to Mod Mark about a scale coming out. He said he wants to do a really simple scale, and that'll be released next year in 2013. It's not going to be sailing. And he admitted that that was just a crazy idea some people got based on a screenshot they released.
Who there in their right mind would think sailing was going to be a skill? What are you going to do? I mean, you take a boat and it takes you 3 seconds to get anywhere. And besides, but, you're not going to get your ship back. That guy stole it back from you. He changed the name. You're not going to get it back.
On the same note, he also said that there are player-owned ports coming out later this year.
Probably clan base.
Well, they said player, so there's a difference between player and clan, right? So.
We'll see how that one goes. Might be one new daily thing that you'll have to go to.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it definitely should be interesting because that is something that would change the way we get around RuneScape. And as anybody who's listened before will know that I'm quite critical of all the teleports that have been added because it's just way too easy to get somewhere, like, to get places. Like, you can get to mobilizing armies three ways. It's just crazy. So, I mean, I'm just kind of wondering how player owned ports will fit into that. But in any case, the only other thing I'd like to mention here is that there is indeed a 10-year Veteranscape that is in the works. So that should be interesting. And they didn't say when it's coming out, but they did hint that it is in development. So those of you guys who have been playing a long time, you will get that cape sometime soon.
So when did you start playing again, Shane?
About 8 years ago, actually. I started in June 2004.
I think it was in 03. I started
in June of 2004.
We're old.
We are old, Shane. Mike, I think, started in 2002 or before. But he took a break, but he would have been around for the party hats and everything. So, but he wasn't playing, unfortunately.
Oh, can you imagine how much money he would have right now if he kept them?
I know. I know. Anyways, we're essentially done for RS updates this week. Just one final note that spins are on sale. So up to 50% bonus spins with selected Squeal packages from June 15th, today until the end of the weekend, 28th. Players who purchase 10 or 25 spin packages will also receive a healthy bonus of spins up to 50% more.
Woohoo!
So if you need any spins this weekend, now would be a good time to buy them.
Alrighty. Next we have audio questions.
Yes, we got two audio questions this week. First one is from Killjoy. Let me just put that up, and here we go.
Hello, hosts of RSBNB Updates. This is Killjoy, and I have a quick question for you today. Seeing how I'm heading off to college in a few months, I was wondering, if you could go to any college or university in the entire world, where would you go, and what would you study? I think I would go to somewhere like Oxford and study psychology or something along those lines. Anyway, thanks for answering the question. I hope you have a lovely day, and keep up the great work. Love, Kyoto.
You first.
I'm happy with my choice. Went to San Jose State University, primarily because I needed one where I can actually do my own.
Hello, host. Of RSBNB.
Whoopsies.
This is Killjoy.
Nice, Shane.
And I have a quick question.
Yes, I'm sure he has a quick question. So, let's continue. I'm sorry about that. I just pressed a button and started playing.
Mm-hmm. But I'm happy with my choice. I wanted a place where I can kind of be on my own, learn my own things, and do the things I need to do to grow up while still being close enough home that if they call me, I can still get back really, you know, really, really quick. Let's face it, my family cannot operate the TV without me.
Yeah, that's the same here.
So that's why I picked one that was, you know, far enough where they can't really do much of anything if I choose to stay, but if I needed to get back, get back really quick. So I'm happy with my choice.
Yes. Okay. For me, I did a combined thing here at Grant MacEwan University, and then swapped over to University of Alberta for the rest of my degree, which I finished. So I think it went fairly well. At this point, I think if I was to continue at a higher level of education, I'd want to go somewhere else just to have that perspective, because the university here is highly focused on research, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it shows in that you don't get people who are exactly focused on teaching. It's all research-based, which is kind of annoying if you're trying to learn something and they're not exactly qualified to teach. So there's a big difference between knowing about teaching and knowing the content. So that's what I got to say on that. But yeah, I was happy with what I did, and I wouldn't go anywhere else, because it's a pretty good computer science program that I went through.
Yeah, so that's basically our choices. We picked ones that were close to home, and it worked for us. We got our degrees. Economy sucks.
And there was nothing else in the question of what I would choose. I mean, it wasn't like I don't have a dream to go to somewhere else and just do some program just to do the program. You know, I wanted just to do something practical that would be useful to me. So that's that. But anyways, thank you, Killjoy, and I did get your PM, and I put a little green X next to your name. All right, next question is from RRman100, and he did make it shorter this week.
This is RSBNB Update Questions, recorded June 2012. Episode 12, Extreme Blowing.
Hey guys, me again, RRman100 in the house. Okay, quick questions. Number one, either of you watched Doctor Who before? I've recently started watching it. I think it'd really be up Shane's alley. Question two, probably completely directed towards Shane. Have you ever cleaned your computer with compressed air? I've heard it's a really good way of getting rid of dust and all that. If not, what's a good way of cleaning the inside of a system? Lastly, I'm sure that Shane would be impressed at me, but I just recently hit 85 farming. Yeah, come on 99. Peace out.
That's great. Okay. So, the first part. Cleaning the computer with air. What do you do?
Air compressor with a vacuum cleaner and a hose.
You use an actual air compressor.
The canister one.
Oh, I thought you meant like an air compressor that you use to fill tires up or something.
No, that would completely kill it. I use a vacuum cleaner with a little hose attachment on it and suck up any big globs I may have in there. But for my laptop, I use the air canisters, because there's no way I can vacuum all that stuff up anyway.
Yeah. What I do is I run the vacuum cleaner inside the case just to create a negative pressure. And after that, I use the compressed air can so that I end up sucking up anything that gets dislodged, because I don't want it going elsewhere. So I just use the vacuum cleaner to exert negative pressure on the inside of the case.
In English, please?
Well, in English, that means just putting closing up the case and putting the vacuum cleaner into a hole, turning it on to suck, and then elsewhere just blowing in with the compressed air can.
Oh, I used to also bring my desktop outside, because there's just so much dust. I don't need it around the desk.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Do it outside. Do it outside, because you don't want that inside.
And if you have no choice, open all your windows before you do it, because that's going to fly.
Yeah, and also you get more dust if you place the computer on the carpet or if you have pets. Another good recommendation to keep the inside of your case clean is to use, or to get a case rather that has air filters on it. My case has air filters on the front and on the power supply thing. So that prevents a good amount of dust from getting in, and the only open cavities in the case are the fan ports.
Mm-hmm.
So try and get some air filters, too. That would help.
Okay, then.
Next one about Doctor Who?
Never got in. Oh, I never watched it, really. I have more than enough things to watch on TV, what's left of it anyway. And anything else, I'm usually on the computer or helping out the family. So, haven't really had time to catch up on any other new series, but I'm happy that Burn Notice is back on. Yay! And so is True Blood.
Alcatraz didn't get renewed, did it?
Eh, we all kind of saw he would die because it's Fox. Let's face it, Shane. The only show they haven't canceled in 20-something years is The Simpsons, and that's about it.
Well, every it's about time they cancel The Simpsons, because how long can you keep doing new episodes for?
Until the end of time.
Well, is it like a soap opera? I've never really watched it.
Well, that's your problem, isn't it?
It's like, does South Park. It continue from week to week?
No. It's basically South Park, but more rated G.
Yeah, okay, so I should watch The Simpsons then rather than South Park.
Yeah. But, you wouldn't like it anyway, Shane. You would hate Homer. You would hate Homer.
Why?
I don't see you liking Homer. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Back to the question. I've never watched Doctor Who either. It's much the same thing that Trekkie said. I got lots of other things that I always end up watching and never really popped up on my radar. I mean, it's on our space channel all the time, so we have an entire channel dedicated to science fiction stuff that's not like your crappy sci-fi network in the U.S.
Yeah, that sci-fi channel is pretty crappy.
So, I mean, like, for example, the kind of shows that are on our space channel, we've got Doctor
Who. You're not allowed
to
say Star Trek.
This one about some wizard, Merlin. I think True Blood is also there. We got Stargate, Star Trek.
Told you not to mention that one.
Oh, well, it's okay. But, no, sorry, Iron Man, I haven't looked into that. But I've heard it's good.
Yeah. I just didn't feel like starting a whole new series because that just sucks up so much time. Once you start it, you watch the first episode and then you're like, oh my god, you're at a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. You watch the second one and then it's like, oh my god, now I have to watch the whole thing.
It's like RuneSpan. I'm getting one level. Oh, let's get another level. Oh, it's time to go to bed. Let's just suck this note off. No, we gotta do the next one too. It's like RuneSpan.
No, that's when you just grab two rocks. One to press on the arrow key so the screen keeps spinning, and then another one dangling on a string, and then every once in a while it would press the left mouse button and start clicking and be able to click on something.
That would be the most untechnologically advanced form of botting that I've seen. So don't do that, players.
Yes, but Shane, remember, low tech is always better. Keep it low tech.
No, sometimes. All right, you can read this question from your friend.
Joy. From who? What?
From your friend.
I heard you say from Brad. All right, this question is from Duke Joker. Dear host, I just got membership for the next 3 months. Yes, it finally happened. Currently, I am chopping IV to 83 so I can do the Jadinko layer for 99 fire making. After fire making, what skill or skills do you think I should work on and what things should I do? I'm already planning on doing as many quests as I possibly can. This one, go this one first.
Farming.
There. Here you go.
Farming.
And
I don't know. Just do whatever you feel like. Find which skill you truly like and go for that one. It's going to be different for everyone, of course, but my two favorite member skill were farming and herblore. So eventually I did get 99 in those. So it's just a matter of personal opinion. But as a member, I would actually recommend taking some time out once you level all your skills to the 60-ish and just start doing quests. There's so many great quest storylines in the game. Particularly, I know we'll enter a whole discussion here about this, but the Elven series. So it starts with Plague City, Biohazard, Underground Pass, Regicide, Roving Elves, Morning's End Part 1 and Part 2, Within the Light, and we are waiting for Morning's End Part 4 to actually get into the Elven City, which I think I heard somewhere is coming next year, probably.
I don't know, that quest series, I've always wanted to finish it, but they just never finish it anyway. I would love to sit down with Jack and go, when are you going to finish it?
Well, I heard somewhere that it's next year is the plan.
I would like to go into the Elven City and wrap this whole thing up.
Yeah, next year is the plan, apparently. I forget where I heard that, though.
All right, I won't hold my breath, but we'll see what happens next year if we still
another
play.
Good storyline to start is Zaros and the Majorat that starts in the desert and gradually makes its way north all the way up to the Icelands and Ritual of the Majorat, which we wrapped up last September. Don't you think that was a great quest line? A good way to end it?
Yeah,
bit of a cliffhanger too. Dragonkin now.
Chapter 2.
Yeah.
Yes. So you know, I kind of wish that they had Lex Luthor's insurance plan.
What?
You know, fix Lex Luthor. You know who he is?
No.
He's the main villain from Superman.
Oh, no, I do
not
know that.
You ever wonder why cartoons back in the day can have, you know, monsters destroying whole cities and then next episode it's all fixed up? Well, anybody ever realize where Lex Luthor gets all his money? He sells insurance. And I wish he was here to fix up Edgeville.
Okay, okay, so that's how this relates to RuneScape. I was wondering.
It's been there for a while. Where's the construction workers? You know, you'd think they would fix it by now. It's been a couple months. Or are they taking a long coffee break?
Yeah, it would be nice to have that fixed.
Okay.
But that's what you should do. Tech question.
Okay, what do you each think will be the next biggest development in regards to the internet? All right, Jane, this is all yours.
This is such a broad question. biggest development with regards to the internet. Well, we're kind of already there with mobile.
Poke our brains up to it and surf at the speed of our neurons.
No, that's the second next step. I think the next step is augmented reality with something like those Google glasses. So essentially you're walking down the street and you see this person you know. It recognizes it based on your contact book and it pulls up a little contact card like, yes, this is so-and-so. You last saw them here. This is their website. Here's what they're known for kind of thing. Same thing goes for looking up any kind of information in the store. Like, essentially, we're heading towards, I think, a world where everything and everyone will be connected. You'll be connected when you go to your desktop computer. You'll be connected when you go to read your morning papers. You'll be connected when you leave the house in your car. So I think that's kind of where we're heading in the whole kind of interconnectedness. And this is why I think we're going to start seeing actual computers start to disappear, except for specific applications like PC gaming and development. Because why does somebody who just needs to do basic word processing need a full-fledged desktop computer with an archaic keyboard and mouse? So I think we're heading into a more, we're kind of now, you have one machine to do everything kind of thing. I think we're heading into an area where we're going to have little specialized computers to do certain things. And a prime example of that is just your iPhone and your iPad just used for different things. And I know there are people who can go an entire day without going on a desktop computer if they don't need to do something major. So I think that's where the internet is heading, just more interconnected devices, and you'll be connected everywhere you go kind of thing. Next.
And last but not least, gaming quest. Well, two more actually. Second to last gaming question. Ignore any fanboy instincts you may have with this question. Do you see another console war coming from Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo soon? If so, and in all seriousness, do you think we'll come out with the best overall console, all details and features considered? And random, if you go forward back in time, when in time would you like to go? Okay, so gaming question. Will there be another console war coming up?
I don't think we're going to see much from Nintendo in terms of power. I think we've already seen what Nintendo wants to do. They want to do the new type of interaction with the game console, which is perfectly fine because somebody needs to do that and figure out what's going to work and what isn't going forward. Because you can only keep using a gamepad for so many years, and considering we've been using a gamepad since these things first came out, don't you think it's about time we have some of the different kind of interface?
I think that's what
we're going to see Nintendo do. But I think, I have a feeling next year we're going to be talking, at this time, we're going to be talking about next-gen hardware. Nothing announced this year, which is absolutely horrible in the terms of game development, because you got to keep in mind that all of these games that are coming out need to run on this hardware that's from 2005 and 2006, respectively. So, and we just need to look at how far hardware has come since then. And the fact that now any PC can basically blow away a console in terms of raw performance. So I do think it is time for new consoles, but
would there be like a console war again?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean,
I think there would. I think there would.
We're just going to see people migrating to the next level of whatever they use because, quite frankly, if you have all these Xbox games and you have friends on Xbox Live, you're going to stick with Xbox Live because I'm assuming that the next Xbox will be backwards compatible, just like this one was, and you'll be able to play all your Xbox 360 games on whatever's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for the PS3. So I don't think it's going to be as pronounced as it was 6 years ago. Yes, it was 6 years ago, but I just think that the positions are cemented now.
Okay, then. And let's see. So I actually think there will be another console war coming up, considering we always have those stupid fanboys who would always do this. It's nothing new. I mean, you know, when are we all going to realize that every console is one thing and one thing only? It's a computer made and designed to play a certain type of formatted disc.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe in the future, a digital copy of information. They're all the same thing. Only thing that changed was like, oh, let's just change the little code. All right, here you go. We're done. Oh, and here's some extra DLC just for kicks and giggles.
Now, here's what I've been saying for a few years. We all know Steam on the PC, right? I was saying Steam, you partner with Intel and NVIDIA, and you put together a cheap gaming PC for $300, and you sell this with a subscription to Steam that lets you access a huge library of Steam games yearly for a set price, you have a winner here. And people can also play their other Steam games as a console. So in essence, you bring PC gaming to the masses, and it becomes another console. So I think Steam could do something like this. There's indications they might with Steam Cloud and all the different platforms, but a partnership with Intel and NVIDIA to put together a cheap little computer you can plug into a TV and just run Steam on it would be amazing.
And don't forget Netflix. Always throw in Netflix. Yeah, but always throw in Netflix. That's the deal breaker for every console so far.
Yeah, they all have it now. So,
so don't forget that. Anyways. And run Blu-ray.
Okay. I don't know. Thank you, Duke.
All right. And lastly, go forward or back in any time?
Oh, I could go last back one. In any time.
Make it quick.
Mid-1800s in Canada. Or forward in time to the 2100 to see if all this climate change hype is actually true. which I don't think it is.
Yeah. I'd go back and see Steve Jobs and ask him, can I buy some shares? Hey, you know, $1,000 would give me about, what, 70 grand or something? I'm down. Oh, it's 7 grand? I remember
like,
what it was.
You're like a Ferengi. You're just concerned about making money.
Yeah, but if I made money, Shane, then I could run your servers for you. You don't have to worry about paying for anything else.
Okay.
See? And I can offer for your white product, because then I'll just get room to get gold.
That's kind of illegal, but anyways. Next one's from Optimaniac. Dear host, I was wondering if lacrosse is a popular sport in the regions you are from, and if you enjoy watching the sport. I personally love the sport, and I know it's mainly an East Coast sport, so if you don't mind giving your opinion, that would be great. I'd love to be on the show, Optimaniac. So what do you think of lacrosse?
Me?
Yes.
I never played it. It's not really popular.
Oh,
here,
wow.
Usually
you didn't do it in school phys ed or anything like that?
They didn't offer it in that in physical education, though. Remember,
really?
Public schools here are cheap and poor. You weren't lucky just to have a field. I was just lucky to have a field. But lacrosse wasn't really popular here. You know, if I could pick a sport, I usually just try and play volleyball. I like that. Keep it simple.
Okay.
There's a ball in the net.
lacrosse is actually popular here. It's taught in schools. And it is actually Canada's national sport.
Hockey is not
a national sport. No, that's just what everybody here gets excited about. But it's actually lacrosse. Because lacrosse was actually invented by, I forget which North American natives, but it was actually invented by them way back when, and they actually taught it to the British when they came here. So that is where the name lacrosse comes from.
Okay, then.
So yes, I do know how to play lacrosse.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. That was quick and easy. So question from Marmomska, dear Shane, Temple, Trekkie, and maybe special co-host. It's been a few weeks since QBD has been out. What questions me is, why is there a Dragonkin lair in... I have no idea how to say the name of that place again.
Asgarnia.
There you go. Did they build it before the Third Age? Do you think it merits a quest from the backstory of this dungeon? And so, I honestly don't really...
You know, that's a good point. Where did it come from? Because these things just appear randomly, and maybe it does warrant a quest, but I don't think there was a quest on the King Black Dragon when that came out. Maybe there's a quest warranted on the Queen Black Dragon and King Black Dragon. I don't know.
Let's see. Why is there a dragon?
That is definitely an interesting observation.
Hmm. I don't know. Probably should do more research into it, but I don't know if we really want to research into a video game that we only play a couple times a day.
And you know, the thing is that it just appears, and there was no evidence of ever having a dungeon for the dragon in Asgardia, as you say. So maybe it would about where it came from, but you know, I don't think. I think the main point is that the Queen Black Dragon is out, and it's an NPC that people like to fight.
Yes, still haven't fought it again yet. I just need to get my range up. Speaking of monsters, what is the deal with these star sprites from Shooting Stars, D&D? These Teletubby claim that they're going somewhere else when I mind them out every time, isn't it? I think those ETs are up to something, come down to escape often, every so often, and they might be planning to invade us. Okay, what's the deal with these things? They came from a comet. That comet is a nursery for these little Teletubbies. And what happens is every once in a while, one of them will get fidgety and kick, and he'll get loose from the comet. And thus, the shooting star thing comes down, crashes into RuneScape. When you kick them out, when you mine the rock to get them out, they're all happy because they can finally see the sun. And where they go? they use their little teleporting thingy to invade people's computers, and they're trying to get all the computers together to make a super powerful computer and be able to talk to their mama back in RuneScape somehow. There, I said it. Conspiracy theories, go.
That's very detailed. How much time did you spend thinking about this?
30 seconds.
Okay. Well, that works.
I just went with it. And I probably popped some holes. All right. So, you want anything to say about this one?
No, I don't. Your conspiracy theory works just fine.
Alrighty. And next is I started farming my own herbs and secondaries to level up my herb lore, and I found out through clanmates that 65 Dungeoneering Rewards dungeon at Edgeville had a limp root respawn point with magic truth and no boots, with no bots, just a tip.
I knew about that one. That's one of my favorite resource dungeons.
And also remember, if you're doing herb lore, there are also scrolls, herb lore scrolls, which let you save herbs and secondaries, which is great in money saving. And just a little tidbit. And with Apple's Mountain Lion OS due by next month, do you think Apple is on the right track for OS updates, upgrades, etc., etc.? And last thing, how was my comic on RuneWire? I would like to be on the show for the celebration. Cheers, Momoska. Alrighty then. So, Apple, Shane, go. Your field.
Well, I actually think that they're on the right track with this. I like the yearly release cycle, because that shows that what's going on here is something indeed related to a new trend in software development recently called agile development, which means essentially you use the feedback that comes from your latest release to guide your next release, and you just add a few new features to the next release, and then you incorporate your user feedback, and you release quickly. Now, for something with the scheme of an operating system, that's great. A year turnaround for a new operating system is very, very good. So, I like this new release cycle. But as for Mountain Lion, I think it's heading in the right direction overall. I'm actually more excited about Mountain Lion than iOS 6. And I think they are proceeding slowly to slowly integrate the experiences between iOS and Mountain Lion. So I'm actually looking forward to Mountain Lion. It seems like a bigger upgrade to me than Lion was, just because, well, the fact is that there's so many things coming that are from iOS that are actually needed. For example, the Notification Center is going to be nice, because that means we don't need to use a third-party tool for this. So, definitely good. And the comic is right here, but you can have a look at this. I actually was wondering about this before. Marumska's Adventures, What I Hate About Dungeoneering. There you go. Oh, Trekkie, you made it into the thing.
Hmm?
You made it into his comic.
Okay.
Yeah, so very interesting, Marumska. And, of course, more on Lion and, Mountain Lion and iOS and Tech News.
Don't use bows in Dungeoneering, though.
You don't?
No, use the Prom 2 Hender.
Oh, yeah, right.
I don't yet. Nor do I have a hex bow. Okay. Alrighty.
And I put a little green X to your name, Marumska.
Alrighty, and so thank you, Marumska. And next one is from Damon Maxis. Hi there, RSBNB update. I'm getting close to some of my first 99s, but I have a real lack of motivation to keep skilling in these skills. For example, I have level 87 woodcutting. Every time I sit in front of Ivy, I lose all motivation to continue woodcutting. Sorry. Any idea on how I can keep skilling fresh and exciting? Keep skilling fresh and exciting. Thank you. All right, take a break. Seriously. That's how you get to 99.
I agree.
You don't do it all in one lump sum. The more you do that,
the
more
you
hate it.
You don't do it in one sitting. Yes, exactly.
Unless you have like some crazy television show that you have like 10 seasons of, you know, ready to go. I don't know. Like, you're going to rewatch all of Dragon Ball Z again because you bought
or all of the Star Trek series.
No. Not going to happen. Shane, you memorized every single one already. Why do you want to watch it again? Seriously.
I don't know. I just do.
So, really take some breaks from it, because the more you try to force yourself to do it, you realize really quick you're not playing the game anymore. You're doing this as a chore, and no one likes to do chores.
Exactly. Exactly. That is 100% true. One thing I'd like to throw in is that another thing that can act as a bit of motivation is racing with a friend. But of course, don't take the race so seriously that you'll end up killing the person if you don't win.
And again, if you have like, you just bought the entire series of Dragon Ball Z with all, I don't know, what, 1,000+ episodes or something, go for it. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? You'll get your Bulma and Goku thing all back up again. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You pretty much covered it there, so that's good.
All right, last
question is from Zach Glenn. Dear RSBB Update team and this week's guests, if any, what is the most recent book you've read for pleasure? Have you ever listened to an audiobook? Which do you prefer more, reading books or listening to audiobooks, and why? And have you bought or won any fish masks in RuneScape? If so, how many do you have? Thank you, Zach.
Did I want any? No. Shane bought one? Yes. That answers your question right there. And for last book I read for pleasure, it was The Lost Symbol by Dan Brown.
Okay.
And I'm not a big fan of audio books. I actually find those I don't pay attention to those, because usually you only have time to listen to them just when I'm driving. And I'm driving actually really
big. You have to focus when you're driving too.
Yes. Despite what people may say about Asians.
All right. The last book I've read and still going through is the Steve Jobs book. The problem I have is that I have all these things I want to do, and the only time I actually get to the book is when I don't have anything else to do. So unfortunately, I haven't been setting enough time aside from that. But as to which I prefer, I'd prefer to do audiobooks, but I just haven't acquired any yet. And for those of you guys out there, yes, if you listen to an audiobook, you are indeed reading the book. I should have had Paul on the show. He's a big proponent of audiobooks.
Not too late.
Yeah. Anyways. So there's your answer, Zach. So that being said, if you want to send us a question, you can send us audio questions like Killjoy and RRMan did, which can be emailed to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype, or just phone them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Tech news time now.
Ooh, it's going to be fun. All right, wake me up when you're done.
Patch Tuesday. No, you should stay up, because Patch Tuesday was this week. So everybody out there, all you listeners who are running Windows, please do make sure that your Windows updates were run this week, because there was quite a few dangerous holes patched, including things that allowed remote code execution, and that's the most dangerous type of exploit. So if you're running Windows 7, you better run these Windows updates, or else your computer could be at risk. And there are actually a few of these that are out in the wild being exploited. So even if you're using Internet Explorer, you are at more risk. So please do run your Windows updates. That is the best thing that I can tell you to do after you are done listening to this show. Run the updates, download, install them, and then restart your computer. Please do that. Keep the entire ecosystem safe. I mean, now there's 1, 2, 3, 4... remote code exploits, and 1, 2, 3 elevation of privileges, meaning somebody can get in and elevate themselves to a level where they'd be able to do who knows what with your system. So please be careful and run your Windows updates this week. Because if you don't, you could end up having a computer that doesn't work and you need to reformat, and you never know if you got the Worm or whatever they put on your system, or rootkit or keylogger, or who knows what junk they'll put on there. You never know if you've got rid of it fully. And with that being said, I do also recommend that everybody who is using Windows run Microsoft's free anti-malware solution entitled Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yes. And it's free. Remember that.
Yes,
it's
free. It is free.
With a real Microsoft Windows key.
Yeah, and you should also, if you're using Internet Explorer 8 or older, upgrade to Internet Explorer 9 if you really want to use that browser. But if you're looking for something new, we recommend Chrome and Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to stay safe.
Alrighty then.
Alright. So this week was Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco. Did you notice anything?
Yeah. I wasn't okay. In downtown. That's where all that stuff is, always at Moscone Center.
Yes, that's right. Essentially, a roundup of the WWDC presentation was that iOS 6 was previewed. It's going to be released this fall. I don't suppose you have any highlights of iOS 6.
Well, I'm not a Mac guy.
Exactly. But the main thing I think that people are excited about with iOS 6 is the fact that there's a different maps application and turn-by-turn directions, finally, after so long. So, I myself didn't feel as though iOS 6 was that major. I felt that Mountain Lion, which was also previewed, which is coming out next month, was a bigger deal because, as I said earlier in Maremska's question, there's just so many other nice little things coming to it that it's just making the OS more polished. And I think Mountain Lion, compared to Windows 8, is heading in the right direction as to general computing, whereas Windows 8 is just trying something new completely. There is also a batch of hardware updates for anybody out there looking to buy some kind of Mac laptop. So if that's you, good job. You can now do that. And there is also released a newer MacBook Pro that has a screen resolution of 2800 wide by about 1800. So that is insanely huge.
Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they call that their Retina display, which is the same display that you have on an iPhone or an iPad. So, very nice indeed. But that's essentially all that was announced in terms of, I guess, releases forthcoming at the actual presentation. But there's probably a lot more interesting going on in the sessions, which will be posted sometime later for free online, which I intend to have a look at because I want to build another OS X application.
Have fun with it.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know what I want to build yet, so I'm still exploring that. This next one's a bit of a futuristic problem that we don't have yet, but the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the RCMP here in Canada have told industry representatives that IP version 6 traceability is necessary to identify people suspected of crimes. Now, as we mentioned last week, IP version 6 is the new standard for internet addresses that is slowly going to replace the old standard. So we're not fully there yet, but the idea is that in a number of years we will transition over to that. And the problem is that IP blocks are only allocated every few years or so with IP version 6, so there's no incentive for record keeping as to who has which IP address, which is important for law enforcement to track people down. For example, the MITOB/ZOTOB worm, they use this same IP tracking. 9/11, anthrax investigations, kidnappings, child pornography, many other incidents, phishing, bot farming, phishing and bots. Not, of course, RuneScape bots, but botnets online. So you could see why using an IP address is definitely something that is important to be available to law enforcement, right?
Okay.
So the idea is that IP version 6 record keeping isn't going to be done that often because the blocks are only going to be allocated every 10 to 15 years. So there's no point to record keep, which is a problem for law enforcement. And, you know, with IP version 6, I had this idea that everybody who gets an internet service provider have their IP address be like a phone number. You get an IP address and it's registered with your ISP, and that's you. And your ISP keeps that just like your phone company keeps your phone number. And if you want to go online, you do that, and you're basically saying who you are. And I honestly think that would be the best thing in the world to keep the internet, or make the internet safer, rather.
Okay.
So, and I mean, people don't like the idea of that being able to be tracked, but, I mean, in reality, you use your phone number, you phone somewhere, people get your phone number. I really don't think it's that big of a deal unless you're doing something illegal. Am I right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Shane does something illegal once in his life.
No, I have not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it would just be nice if everybody had their own IP version 6 address, and there's more than enough to do that. So if people are looking for a solution to this, this is the solution. Maybe there will be somebody in government somewhere that's listening to me and create a law that will mandate that every person get their own IP address and ISPs keep track of them. But that's what I'm hoping for, but I'm not betting it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's it for tech news.
Cool.
Let's move on to the Scale of the Month update. Can you take this week, please?
All right. So, June Scale of the Month update. Let's see how people are doing. And, wow, it really plateaued. Well, nothing changed, did it?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah. So, it didn't go up. It didn't go down. But other people are coming up. But slowly, so... Yeah, so One Stone Pwn is still at 10,147,200.
That's his start XP, not the XP gained.
Close enough. He gained almost 3 million XP. Next is Optomaniac at 1.7 million. Jason's third with 1.6. So, yeah, okay, so you guys have about 2 weeks to beat One Stone Pwn and then see who gets first.
You know, based on this, I'm not too optimistic that we'll see a lead change, having a 1.2 million lead on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but you never know what might happen.
It's hard to get charms. You know how it is.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you and I both got 88 summoning recently, so we know exactly what this is all about.
Yes. Okay. So, achievements of the week. We only have one this week. It's, Ethereon, who got 99 range on June 11th. And so congrats to you.
Ooh.
99
range. I've always wanted 99 ranged. Maybe with the new combat update, I'll have incentive to get 99 ranged.
Go for the eyes and break the jaw.
Right. Exactly.
So,
hey, maybe we'll be able to do this with the new combat update. Take an arrow and shoot it through someone's eye to get a critical hit.
Mm-hmm. While you're also at it, you tell your enemy to line up and then shoot, kill three guys with one arrow or one bolt.
I don't think that will happen.
Never knew.
You need something like the AWP in Counter-Strike to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Once All right. in we were playing Counter-Strike Source, a bit of a diversion here, but I actually killed two people. I got two headshots, not with the AWP, but with strangely the scout in Counter-Strike Source, which was amazing to me because that you don't think of the scout in Counter-Strike Source as a powerful weapon. So just a bit of a digression there, and I've not been able to do that again in Counter-Strike or TF2, unfortunately.
Hmm.
Right, but I have a pick now, don't I?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it is WWDC week, so in line with that, I picked an iPhone/iPad application. So those of you guys who have an iPod will also be able to use this. I don't know when the sale ends, but this application was on sale this entire week. For 99 cents, it was 70% off. So do the math, figure out what the usual price is. I guess $4.99 or something like that. But it is called Solar Walk. It's from the same people that make Star Walk, which I think I've used as a pick before. Solar Walk essentially lets you go anywhere in the solar system and see what it looks like at this present time. Like, for example, right now I'm looking at the Earth and where the moon is in relation to it. So I can see that, yes, here's where this certain satellite is. Here's where the Hubble Space Telescope is. So you can see exactly where that is orbiting the Earth. Then you can just pinch to zoom out, and then you can, of course, see the orbit of the moon. Zoom out further, you see the orbit of Venus and then Mars, and then, of course, the asteroid belt. Then, of course, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. So if you're at all interested in astronomy and you have an iPhone or an iPod or an iPad, you can pick up this application on the App Store. Aside from being able to go through the solar system, it's also got information on each solar body. So if you tap on the moon, for example, you will be able to see that like all sorts of information on it. Like, for example, here it says that the moon is 384,400 kilometers average distance from Earth, has a radius of 1,737.4 kilometers, and has a volume of 0.02 times Earth, so very small. So it's definitely a good little application to have if you're interested in astronomy. So I'd definitely recommend having a go look at it. And if you zoom all the way out, you can zoom out to 130,000 light years and see exactly where our position is, our tiny, tiny position in the Milky Way galaxy. So, interested in astronomy? This is a good application for you. I'm done.
Okay, then. And let's see. So we covered out the RuneScape Citadel. We have ours. Hopefully back up and running for a lot longer than the first one. Talk to and join our friend Chad and talk to Devo about getting in it if you're interested in it. And
yep.
Anything else to say, Shane?
If you want to join, you just have to PM one of our chat mods and they can send you an invite to join the Citadel. And from there, you can go in there to help out. But you know, as I said before, the reason we have this set up is for people who want to join a Citadel but don't already have a clan. So if you're a dedicated RSBNB member and you already have a clan that you like and you're active in, don't feel obligated to join our Citadel. So just do this if you feel you want to see what a Citadel's like. All right. So please do check out the Citadel. And just a reminder that you have until next week. One more week to say that, yes, I want to be on the show. Just tell us you want to be on the show, and I will put an X to your name, and you'll be entered into our Get on the Show contest. Since this show has now been going for actually 7 years, I published the first episode on June 12, 2005, so we are now entering our 8th year.
Okay, then.
What about your contest? How's that going?
I got everybody's name down. It's coming.
Give us a recap.
So basically, I'm just going to do a random drawing, and whoever wins.
And prize anybody for me. Who enters a question is entered. Yes.
Yes. So everybody who enters a question, you'll be automatically entered. And yeah. So far, I've gotten. Let's see. How many have I gotten so far? Mostly the same people again and again. So far, it's the same people who have basically three chances of winning.
Okay. Well, that's great then. And do you want to shed any details about what the prize will be, or?
It'll be something decent. Okay. Is that, no? Yeah, it'll be decent. So let's see, you got about 20 people so far. Well, 20 entries anyway.
All right. Well, we look forward to that then. So, what have you been up to?
I've been no-lifing Rocktails for a while. I need the money. I spent so much trying to get 88 summoning. I need the money. And okay. I'm took a little bit of Ricey's advice from last week's episode, and I'm doing mini flipping. I'm buying bonds, basically.
You're buying bonds.
Yep. I'm flipping some low. I'm buying stuff that I know will go up.
Okay.
The price of it basically stabilized, and I know what I can always sell it for. I'm buying spirit shards, and you know they're always 25 regardless.
Right. So I see. I see what you're doing there.
I bought about 10,000 or so, and for 20 each, and I sold them all for 25. So I was like, okay, man, woohoo! I'm basically buying stuff from the 98 cent store and returning it to the 99 cent store.
That's a good analogy. Okay.
I'll make a penny every time, man.
As for me, this week I ended up getting sidetracked, so I didn't really get to do much runecrafting, but I'm still going for 90 runecrafting. And yes, for anybody else asking, I will be stopping after I get 90 because I just can't stand RuneSpan. For one thing, it's too addictive, and I don't feel it's
99 worthy.
It's true to what runecrafting should be.
You can always go back to the old way, Shane.
I know. I'm contemplating doing that, but I don't think I need to. I don't think I need to go past 90.
You'll get a. Just go for 91, so you can do the effigies every once in a while.
No, and then I'll have to go for 93, then 95.
Hey, just do effigies for 91 people, and you know, save that up to get to 93. And then you get to 93, and then you do more effigies, and you get to 94, or 94, 95. And then you're like, oh, screw it, I'll just get to 99 already, and you're done. And you never have to runecraft again.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Just get 91, and you'll get double natures. And a pouch.
No! No! 90's good enough.
Alright. If you say so.
Anyways. I don't think there's anything else I need to mention. So, what about you?
Be good. Pass it on.
All right. Well, that being said, we'll see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.